Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 10, recorded July 26th, 2011. Ham Radio aboard the Queen Mary. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the world. I'm glad you're here tonight. And as I said before, you want to go call your mother, your father, your grandmother, your neighbors, everybody you know, because tonight is such a very special, historic broadcast here on Ham Nation. And it's a ham radio show about ham radio. But tonight is very special about ham radio because we're going aboard the Queen Mary and going to see what's going on in that wonderful historic Queen Mary. Gordo, greetings to you, WB6NOA. This is K9EID.
Well, thanks, Bob, and I can't wait to go sailing, and I've been aboard the Queen Mary, and thanks to Nate Brightman and all those that help keep the Queen Mary floating as pretty as she is in Long Beach Harbor, California. She is there for ham radio operators and those that want to see the Queen Mary all the way back to when she was first built. So, Bob, let's go back to you, and then I'll let you turn it over to Nate Brightman. Go ahead, Bob.
All right. Well, we want to bring on the gentleman that made this happen. Nate Brightman, K6OSC, greetings to you and your assistant manager, Dave Atkins. So nice to see you, Nate.
Well, nice to sit with Bob. It's been a few years since we were together, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you and to see you. And you've always been so generous to W6RO, furnished all those beautiful microphones with W6RO on them, those classic mics that you manufacture. And it's really very nice. You know, we have present time 75 volunteers who operate this station and keep it going most of every day of the year. And it's very popular with the tourists because we talk to the tourists about ham radio at the door. And then we invite them into the wireless room, and we explain about the different types of equipment we have in a language that the layman can understand. And then we find out if they have a camera. We have them sit down with one of the rigs, and we photograph them and their family with the ham station in the background, all the equipment showing. So when they get home and they show their pictures they took on their trip, they're going to be able to tell people about visiting a ham station on the Queen Mary. And the Queen Mary has
That is so wonderful. We have some pictures, and we're going to have Alex bring up some of these. And I want you to just go through them and talk about those in just a little bit. But, David, I want to say thanks to you. You're the assistant manager there at the wireless room. Is that correct? And you're N6HHR. Is that right?
That's correct. I've been the assistant manager for about a year.
All right. Well, you got about 39 years to catch up with Nate, but we'll all be there to back you up, let me tell you. Well, let's start off. Alex, if you can roll some of these, there's a great picture of the construction of the Queen Mary. If you can see that, Nate, what year was that?
1934 or 35, when they were building the Queen Mary. And that's the time the big depression hit, you know. So they stopped the construction of the ship, but the England management decided that if they would start building it again, they put a lot of people to work. And so they restarted construction of the ship and finished up the ship so she would be a tourist attraction traveling between London and New York.
Wow, there's a great picture of number three. And for those of you that's listening on the podcast only, these are just some pictures of the Queen Mary in various locations. The one on there now is when it was docked at the Long Beach dock as it came in, and a lot of people around it. That was just an amazing thing. And there's a DVD, and I invite all of you to get it. We'll tell you in just a little bit where you can get it. You really need to get this. It is such a piece of history, and it's all centered around ham radio. There's such a wonderful history there. When it docked, came into Long Beach, what year was that, Nate, when they finally got it to Long Beach? And I know you were happy about that.
1967.
67. And how many years did it take you to make that happen? And tell a little bit about that story. You had to work almost with the Queen to get that here, didn't you?
Well, I started working on it the minute the city council announced that they had bought the Queen Mary. And at that time, I decided it'd be wonderful if we could have a ham station on the Queen Mary on the last voyage. And I did manage to get through all the red tape with the city of Long Beach and the British government to license an amateur aboard the Queen Mary, called GB5QM. And Al Lee was the one our club had paid to operate. He could take off enough time for work. And we got the first time ever that an American had been licensed by the British government to operate aboard a cruise ship.
Yeah, we have a picture of number five. That's W6KQI. Lee was a very fortunate person. He's there operating his Swan equipment, and there's a story about Lee. The club sent him over to be on the ship while it came from England. And why did you choose Lee?
Yes, Al operated the station. We had, by a strange coincidence, we had some other club members that purchased tickets for a voyage. And so they were assistants to him, helped him operate the station on the trip across the Atlantic. And the ship had to go around the Horn because she was too big to go through the Panama Canal. So it was a long journey and gave him a chance to make a lot of contact. Now, we weren't operating the DX station. We were just operating the station to get publicity amateur radio, because it got a lot of newspaper coverage locally and other newspapers in Southern California.
Yeah, that was great. And you had a special card, number six shows that. You had a special QSL card, and I guess there are some of the guys that got to work this. And think about this. This would be really a spectacular thing to have in your collection, the card of the shows the Queen Mary and the call GB5QM that was issued by the British government. That's really great. Once you got it into Long Beach, there was original equipment there. There's number seven and number eight talks about that, where I guess you had to go in and tell them whether you wanted all this old equipment or not. And so that you decided not to do that. Is that correct?
That's right. How do you like these transistors? this is a transmitter, and the city was queried as to whether they wanted to buy the equipment. So I went aboard, and after checking out the equipment, told the city not to buy it, it was useless. And when the owners decided that the city wasn't going to buy it, they didn't want it back. They just had to dump it. Because, you know, the radio equipment on British ships is not owned by Cunard. The radio equipment is leased with the operators to Cunard. And that's the reason that they wanted to get an evaluation as to whether it was equipment we could use, but obviously it was not.
Well, that that has a whole lot of work involved once you figured out what had to be done, and it looks like they removed everything once you got it in there and took all the the old stuff out. I took out everything. There's a whole stack of toilets and shower stalls and all kinds of kitchen sinks and everything. I guess they cleaned the thing out, which was understandable, but they spent a tremendous amount of time doing that. And when you see this DVD we're talking about, you really all need to go buy this. It's really cool. There's one picture that really struck me. It shows a picture of the Queen, and I show it as number 11. They had taken those famous red stacks away because they had to rebuild them. And look how weird the Queen Mary looks without those stacks. That's really weird. But I know they had to rebuild it all. And then when you put it back, and this was cool, number 13, you put a ham radio antenna on top of the stack. Okay, everybody, go crazy, because look at this, the Queen Mary with a tri-bander on top of it. Now, just tell me, is this a piece of history or what? And thanks to these guys, they kept it going. And I actually, at that point, it was just the whole club, but you were the driving force in that. And boy, we owe you so much. And we've got a picture of the original wireless room. I think it's number 9. This was the original wireless room, and that equipment in there, Nate, what that was all for ship to shore and stuff like that. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's all ship to shore, and that was the model that we used to build the wireless room that we use today, because the one you just showed was destroyed and was replaced by a shop. There was no longer a radio room, but this wireless room was built from photographs of the room you just showed. Incidentally, Bob, I think your viewers ought to know that all those pictures are from a DVD that's called The Story of the Queen Mary and W6RO. I made that, had that DVD made from all the slides I accumulated. And I donated the rights to the DVD to ARRL. He uses a fundraiser. It's available from ARRL, or you can order it to any radio supply store that you buy your radio equipment from. And the ARRL keeps all the profit. I don't benefit at all from the sale of that. The money is to benefit ARL, because we need ARL to fight for all our frequencies.
Well, that was a generous thing that you did, and everybody needs to go purchase this. It's just amazing. So if you go to any of the stores, have them do that, or order it for you if they don't have it, or you can call the ARRL, I would imagine. Now, there's a picture, number 14, that shows the rebuild, and boy, did a nice job. Oh, what a nice job you guys did. Look at that. It looks just, it's better than the original. But I also noticed, and Joe Walsh and I were there one time, and we noticed that some of the old equipment were up on the top, and that was very, very cool what you did. You kept some of those old pieces of equipment. There was Joe and I. That was when we had a real nice gathering on the Queen Mary and presented W6RO with all of those classic microphones that we built for the transmitters. And we had such a good time there, such a good time. There's another picture of Joe working CW, and we had just a wonderful amount of things going on that day. There were all kinds of ham radio celebrities there, but oh boy, Joe and I, we got over in the corner and had some real fun. That was great. When you got all the things together and it was going to be opened, you had a big party there, and I know that was quite something. And this was all because of the radio club in Long Beach. How do you get operators? And that's something we really need to talk about here. How do you keep them all going? I don't see how you can do that, Nate and David. That's a tremendous job.
Well, the thing is that most radio club stations are operated by the only radio club members. W6RO station is different. Anybody that wants to be an operator of aboard the Queen Mary. All they have to do is contact us, and we'll give them the information, because you do not have to be a member of the Long Beach Club to be a permanent wireless room operator. Just send me an email at N as in Nancy, E, H, T as in Tom, A, N as in Nancy, at Juno.com, and tell me you're interested if you live within a reasonable distance. All our operators agree to work the station one day a month for a period of a year. And we do have a dress code, as you can see. Dave and I are wearing required outfits. We're required that they wear a white shirt, black tie, black pants, and the ladies wear a black skirt or black pants and a white blouse or in a black bow. The reason we do that is we meet the public and we talk to the public about ham radio. The only reason for this station, besides working well with the extra people, is that we get a chance to talk to the people about what a wonderful hobby ham radio is and how we help the public in all regions.
Well, Nate, I want to tell you that when I first got aboard the Queen Mary, I heard about it for years, and I had worked it from Illinois. And oh gosh, it was so good to be able to go there. But you guys are so gracious to let me come in, and you let anyone come in, sign the log, and if you have your license, you can work there and fill out the log all day. How many operators have you had over the years? Have you kept track of that? How many visitors you've had?
Well, when we first opened the station, I had 160 volunteers. It kept the station open every single day, 24 hours actually, just about. And so at the present time, I have 75 volunteers who keep the station working. And it's important that we talk to the public about amateur radio and give them a good introduction to amateur radio. And we hand out the flyers to children that come with their parents that we get from ARL who are interested in becoming ham operators. So this is a public relations station. As I say, our people who are members of the club do not operate as a Queen Mary operator cannot come aboard. Operators who are assigned, they get the privilege of entering the ship at any time, and also they get free parking at any time. So you really become part of the ship crew when you're a operator, because as I say, the purpose of the station is to tell people about our wonderful hobby of amateur radio.
Well, you guys are certainly the great ambassadors. I have to tell you that. And I was real proud to be able to receive this card from you some many years ago. And I actually have a couple of them where I've worked them. And this is the kind of QSL card. Look at how beautiful it is for you that can watch and see it on the video. But for the podcasters, you want to try to look up the
one other thing that
archives
I think is
and see this show, and you really want to get that DVD because it gives you the whole history. It's really great. There's one other picture of you, Nate, number 17. I thought this was very classy. This was really cool stuff, and I think that's the night of the big party. You look really dapper there. Look at that. You look like a captain on the Queen Mary. How cool. Tell us about that night.
Well, when the station first opened, the ship manager bought us a bunch of Navy uniforms because he thought we would look much better if we wore those, but we gave them up because in this warm area, after a week, we have all the uniforms dry clean, so we finally gave up wearing uniforms. Incidentally, visiting amateurs who come here and bring their license with them, we allow them to operate the equipment, and they sign a slip giving us their name and address, and we will mail to them a guest operator certificate, a 5x7 guest operator certificate as proof that they operated. And that's something that David takes care of. David, do you want to say something about our station?
I didn't have anything prepared necessarily.
Okay. So if you have any other questions for me, and Gordo, it's nice seeing you. Nice that I ran into you a couple of months ago at the radio store. And it's always a pleasure to see you again.
It's always great to see you, and we've had so many students come aboard the Queen Mary and just say, what an experience. And also, we've had a lot of our readers who have licensed up have come across from across the country and said they operated aboard the Queen. They just need to be sure and remember to bring a copy of their license. But what a thrill. Thank you so much for taking good care of all those hams and all those visitors that come on over.
Oh, this is interesting. You mentioned about students. There's a Wilson High School here that has a class in ham radio. And as the amateurs get their license from that class, we've made arrangements with the Queen Mary management that those amateurs can come aboard and get free parking so they can spend the day operating amateur radio station W6RO. Get the experience that they need to become very proficient operators. So even the ship management cooperates with us in the operation of W6RO, and they pay the space. We don't pay any rental fees here. The space is just donated to us. This is a picture of the Queen Mary as she's coming up the west coast of America because, as I say, had to go around the horn because it couldn't go through the Panama Canal because of its size.
Nate, there's a couple
wow.
of other
well,
things
that's quite a story.
I want to talk about. The city, it cost them, I think, around $3 million to buy the Queen Mary when finally the English figured they were going to toss it away. But then didn't it cost like $8 million or something? What are those figures to buy it and refurbish it?
It was very, very expensive to get the ship ready because remember, the ship always traveled in the North Atlantic. People weren't worried about being too warm. They had heaters to keep you warm because it was cold. And now that we're in a semi-tropical area, the management had to air-condition the entire ship. Otherwise, it would be much too hot to travel on the ship. And so it was completely redone. And all those toilets that you saw were there because they removed the ship's engines to sell the steel when the ship first came over, because the ship wasn't ever going to move again. As a matter of fact, after the ship was reconditioned and outfitted and the engines removed, the Coast Guard declared the Queen Mary to be a building on a ship. And so all the construction work had to be done under the Uniform Building Code, which made the reconstruction very expensive as compared to doing it as a maritime operation.
Wow. And the old gal has, 2,000 portholes? Is that right? 2,000?
Oh, yes. And incidentally, it used a gallon of fuel for every 13 feet that it moved. So as you can see, it's a very expensive operation. And then I say, all this information in the picture you show are in the DVD. The story of the Queen Mary and W6RO make a good program for your club meetings.
It really is. And we're just so happy to have you guys on Ham Nation. And one thing, if anybody wants to contact you, missed your email, it's real simple. You know, you go to QRZ.com and look up Nate's call, K6OSC, and you will get his email address from that. And if all else fails, Gordo and I can give it to you. We want to hook you up because they're looking for operators. Now, think about this. If you live in Southern California, and you can live in Massachusetts if you want to fly out to California once a month and become an operator, Nate, you'll sign them up, won't you?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we want to have one operator that's been with us for 30 years, and he drives 200 miles round trip to operate on the last Friday each month, and he's been doing it religiously.
Well, you see that it's such a when you walk in that room, it's like a real religious experience. For number one, it's ham radio in the best that you could ever provide, the best platform. But it's the Queen Mary, and oh boy, as you saw behind you there tonight, we've seen several tourists go walking by, and it's just so wonderful. And you guys are the best. You are the best at keeping the PR going. And Gordo, what are we going to do to help them further this cause? Isn't it wonderful to have the Queen Mary operating with W6RO? That's really cool, isn't it, Gordo?
It really is.
We have a real treat for our club members. Gordo is going to be speaking at our Associated Radio Amateurs Club in September. And I know we're going to have a big crowd there. And anybody who lives in the area, they'll contact me. I'll tell them how to get to the club meeting. It'll be the first Friday in September, and I'll give them directions on how to get here so they can come here, Gordo, because Gordo always have a very interesting talk at club meetings.
That's great. Well, we're getting to the end of the presentation. I appreciate you guys so much. David, thanks for being there. And we thank Ed Kerr to be standing by to get the signal on the air. And there's just so much going on in the chat room about it. And maybe we'll have you back on again before too long. And anything that that happens on the Queen Mary, let us know if there's something special. So, Nate, you're just a gem, and I appreciate you for all you have done through these years for promoting ham radio and being there for everybody. And what can I say? Thanks so much, my friend.
Well, thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate all you guys do for Ham Nation.
All right. Well, listen, you guys take care, and I know you still have some time left there with the tourists, so thanks for coming. Thanks for letting us come aboard the Queen Mary W6RO. You guys in the chat room or anybody listening, watching, look up W6RO, and you'll get even more history. But, boy, we've covered a lot tonight, Gordon. You have any other questions that we should have asked? Did I forget something?
No, I think you did well, and even all the way down to the thousands of portholes. But thanks again to Nate and all his team members there tonight for opening up the Queen Mary for Ham Radio on the Air, Maritime Mobile.
Those guys are something, and you know, you and I have been there several times together doing things, and the best that I remember is that ARRL convention aboard the Queen Mary. It didn't get any better. That was an incredible weekend, wasn't it? Wow. That was super. That was super. Did you have some emails that you wanted to read from, Gordon? And I wanted to talk about a couple of those things, but I know you had some, right?
Well, the bitten me emails were, are we going to do CW? And the answer is yes. In fact, from our 10-year-old reader, we are going to be doing some CW on Ham Nation. We certainly encourage it. In fact, even in our classes that Suze and I offer that are no code, we give them code, and they love it. So we'll be talking, be assured, about learning CW, Farnsworth Method, and we'll be doing it right here very shortly on Ham Nation. Back to you, Bob.
Well, you have to pay attention to the theme when it comes up in the beginning and at the end of Ham Nation. Listen to how CW is really music, and that is none other than WB6ACU Joe Walsh, who wrote and plays that. And we're very happy to have him do that and extremely honored he took the time. But listen to that ham. Those are three letters, H-A-M. And that's what he did the entire platform for the Ham Nation theme song. And it was all done with music. Well, that's what CW is. So we'll get into some of that and get you really interested in CW, because of those that think you don't think you'd like it, you're going to love it. It's another language. And we have a couple of pictures, too, for those that are watching. And they came from we have this little segment here that we call Show Us Your Shack. And, boy, it's so much fun to get pictures from everybody. You want to keep them coming, and we'll show them from time to time. One of the cool ones was from the four guys in a hot tub. They wanted to let everybody know that Leo wasn't the only ham in a hot tub. My only thing about that, it looks like he's got some of the microphone and wire in. I hope he didn't have that thing hooked up. What do you think, Gordon?
Yeah, that would worry me. But anyway, that's the way to enjoy ham radio, like Leo does in the hot tub. Would that be in Maritime Mobile?
Yeah. And then there was this one. I got this nice email from Troy Lubers in Minneapolis. And guess what? I then worked him and got his QSL card. And there's his picture coming up here in just a second. How's that? In the very, very small station. But, man, he had a big signal in 75 meters. And it's all about the antenna. It's all about having the right kind of audio. And knowing when to jump in and jump out, I guess, is part of it, too. Don't you think, Gordon?
Yep, that's the fun with 75 meters. And I listen to you regularly. I don't do much transmitting on 75 because I get into everybody's television, despite the switch to digital, but it sure is fun to tune you in, Bob.
Oh, and then we've got K5LN. Really cool. Bill sent this picture of his very nice-looking station. I had worked Bill some years ago and then got to work him again. And what a classy-looking station he's got here. And you'll notice he has the old Vibroplex out front there, the CWD, and also has a microphone on the boom and so on. And so he's equipped for both, but we work Bill also. And then Virginia. Oh, what a cool thing. Virginia sent this in, NV5F. She sent in a couple of different things. There's her station. Gordon, this is beautiful. Look at that station she's put together. That's really nice.
That is really something. And I think I met Virginia and a group of other fellow hams at the recent HamCom amateur radio show in Plano, Texas. It was a great show. What a fun way for us to see all those listeners and viewers out there by going to these ham shows. And I'll let you know what our next ham show is. Of course, the big Leo opening in another 3 weeks up in Petaluma. And then Suze and I will be there for Pacificon in the San Francisco Bay Area, Santa Clara.
Yeah, that we're going to have so much fun with Leo's opening. And I hope a lot of people will get to come by and work us on the special. We'll be talking about that. The special event station will have a special call for that weekend. That's going to be fun. One of the last pictures I want to show is this is Virginia with her bagpipes. NV5F, and she's going to come on here one of these days and tell us about that little deal. she tunes that up like it's on CW, and she's right. It does have some resemblance, and we'll have her tell you about that one of these days. Isn't that cool? Was she playing her bagpipe, Gordo?
No, but she had a whole group of fellow bagpipe players at the show, and you could tell she was really into it. In fact, Tom, W6WC, that helped us do some of the video at Field Day that we had here on Ham Nation, is also a bagpipe player. And, you know, probably there's a net on HF just for bagpipe players. Say that fast. But remember, can't play music on the air.
No. But we can do a lot of CW. Oh, that's great. Well, we want to switch our things around here. I got my soldering iron plugged in, and we're going to bring George Thomas on W5JDX. He's had his soldering iron on for couple of hours probably. And he's the real master at building things. And let's see if we can get George in here. George, are you aboard just yet?
Good evening to you too, Gordo.
There he is.
Hi, George. Good to see you. Now watch. Be sure and pick that up by the correct end.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to pick it up by the wrong end, that's for sure. And it's been on so long, it's kind of getting warm in here.
Well, George, it's all yours. What are you building tonight? Let's see what kind of fun we can have.
Well, tonight we're going to build a crystal radio. Now, there are several different ways you can do this. I'm using a kit that came from Vectronix, one of the MFJ companies. And I wonder if they were able to get the video at the studio.
I'm not sure if Alex got it ready to go, but we'll find out here in a minute.
One of the first things they mentioned is sanding and staining the wood. And that sounds like a good idea. I'll probably want to hang on to this kit. It looks real nice. We should have 8 Phillips head screws, a 5-inch length of white, 2.5-inch diameter PVC pipe. We've got 100 foot of 18-gauge enamel-coated wire. We have 6 Fonstock clips. We have a tuning capacitor with an extension shaft. We have a knob for the capacitor. We have a little piece of double-sided foam tape. We've got 1 earphone, and I believe this is probably a high impedance earphone. We've got a piece of pine board. We've got 7 feet of insulated stranded wire. We've got a 27 k-ohm resistor, and that's red, violet, orange, gold. And we've got a 1N34A germanium diode. There are a few tools and supplies we'll need to build the kit. First, we'll need a Phillips head screwdriver. We'll need long nose pliers. We'll need wire cutters. We'll need a tape measure or a ruler, a pen knife or an X-Acto knife, a small hammer, an Allen wrench that will fit the knob. We'll need some masking tape and some super glue. We won't need a soldering iron for this at all. According to the instructions, you should use a nail to drill some holes into the board. Going by the template that's included with the kit. Now, I'm going to use a drill on these because I want them to look a little nicer. So what I'll do is just take a punch here, and I'll make a little hole through to the board for everywhere that I'm going to drill. Phase 2 of the kit involves winding the coil. We're going to have approximately 66 turns of this wire, which will be about 52 feet. Now, it's not important exactly the number of turns that you have. What is important is that we want to make the length of the coil 2.5 inches long. That took a little while to do. I found the secret was follow the instructions in the book, do a few windings first, get them on there good, then use a little super glue to tack them down. After that, I was able to wind the rest of it fairly easily, and when I got through, I just ran a couple of beads of super glue down that to hold it together, and the coil is ready. That's probably the hardest part of the project. It's time to move to phase 3 of building the kit, and that is mounting the fanstock clips. Now it's time to mount the coil to the board. Off to phase 4 of the kit. On the left-hand side of the coil, we'll need to remove the varnish off the end of the wire here. Now, we can either do that with the X-Acto knife, or we can use a piece of sandpaper. Now, this is going to take a little while, but we want to go through all the steps in the book and make sure that we install the wiring in the correct position. Looks like our board wiring is about complete. The wire comes off the left-hand side of the coil. goes to this clip, comes around, loops under this clip, and goes out. The wire from the right-hand side of the coil comes all the way down to the bottom clip, loops across it, comes under this clip, and then out. And then there is one jumper wire between the earphone and the detector right here. Now, these are not connected right here. That's just one passing over the other. Our next step is to take the 27K ohm resistor and put it across the speaker clips. Our resistor has no polarity, so it doesn't matter which end goes to which clip here. However, a diode is polarized. We take the germanium diode, we'll put the cathode side of the diode into the detector clip that goes to one of the speaker clips. The cathode is the side of the diode that has a line on it. And there we go. Now, according to the instructions that come with the kit, you should twist these wires around these posts. And if you don't have a soldering iron, that's a good way to do it. I may have mentioned earlier that we wouldn't be using any solder this time. Well, I lied. I'm going to use a little solder on this capacitor here. So we're going to put on the knob now. And we've turned it all the way counterclockwise. Let's loosen up the little Allen screw that's in here. Or some people call it a hex screw, I guess. And we'll tighten it up, putting the knob at approximately the 9 o'clock position. Okay, so it looks like it goes from about 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Remember the stranded wire that came with the kit? Well, that is going to be hooked to the ground clip. And that'll run to my ground system over here. I'm a ham radio operator, so I do have a ground system in here. And it's an 8-foot rod that runs down on the ground right outside the building here. If you don't have something like that, you could hook it to a cold water pipe as long as it's metal. PVC obviously wouldn't work. Or you might hook it to a radiator system in a building. Whatever you can find that'll get you into the ground. If you can't actually get a pipe or a rod that's running the ground, you can just lay some wire out across the ground and that will work as well. We've got our ground wire connected. We've got the little high impedance, what is this? It says receiver on it. The little earplug. And we're going to hook that to the two clips over here on the right-hand side of the board. And now we're about ready to start listening to Glorious AM radio. One thing left. That's the antenna. And we had a good bit of this enamel-coated wire left. And that can be used as the antenna, or we can run another wire. 30 feet or so outside would probably be good. If you want to run more than that, that's even better. And now our antenna is connected. So, let's turn on the power. Well, there is no power. It's powered by the radio signals coming out of the air.
I love it!
That's great.
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun building it. Here's the finished product right here.
And tell us, George, what radio station do you tune into, and how far away is it, and what's the quality of reception? Over.
Well, we're going to do a follow-up next week on the actual performance of the thing, whether or not I actually picked up a station or not.
That sounds great. And I love your fast forward. That was too much. Thanks, George. You're the best.
That's why we got you, Gordo. Yeah, that was 8 minutes of video approximately, and it took a little more than 8 minutes to put this together.
That was wonderful. I do have my soldering iron, just so you know. A good student for you, George. I'm right with you here. So keep them coming, man. And next week we'll get to see how well that works. And we know it's going to work. I just know it's going to work because you built it, and it will work. Yep.
Well, that's a good possibility it'll work. You know, I built probably three or four of these before, and only one of them ever worked, and that's when I was living right next door to the radio station. So it'll be interesting to see how this one came out.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun, and we'll look forward to that. And I really appreciate all your time, because I know it takes just an absolute ton of time to do all this stuff. So thank you for doing that. Are you on the air a lot? Where do we find you on the air? Where we go catch you in action?
Well, this time of year, I'm not on HF quite as much because of all the lightning static that we have on 80 meters in the summertime. I normally hang out on 80 meters. I will get on the other band some. A lot of nights you can catch me on 3.77 megahertz or 3770 kilohertz, same thing. There's a group there called the Cam Radio Net that streams live webcams while they're talking on the air. You can find that at camradiogroup.com, and you can go on there and watch the different people I talk to. Some nights I'll be in there, not so much in the summer. I try to get in at least once or twice a week. Most of them are in the northeast part of the U.S., and then there's another group that's over on the west coast over there that Gordo could probably get in with, and they have a big time, and I enjoy getting in there. You could also maybe catch me on 38 kilohertz some nights, and just around. I will occasionally get into the AM frequencies here around 38-85. I've tried to listen to Joe and the guys out on the west coast on just a little lower frequency than that, but there's somebody in this part of the country that runs sideband on that frequency, so I haven't had much luck hearing them yet.
Well, we will have to check in and see you guys on the CamNet. Tell the listeners a little bit about what you do on this Cam Radio Net. This is very cool stuff what you guys are doing. Tell them what exactly that net is.
Well, that net's just a group of amateur radio operators. It's kind of divided into two groups. The East Coast group is on 3770 kilohertz. The West Coast group is on 3820 kilohertz. And we just get on there and stream our webcams. There's no audio with it. You have to listen off the air since it is ham radio. Some nights it'll just be guys sitting around talking, and you can see their shacks as they're talking. If someone's working on anything in particular, they'll be showing that, and you know, maybe some pictures of how it came out or how to do a certain procedure. It's just a bunch of guys having fun, and you know, kind of like to share video while they're doing it.
It's almost like Ham Nation on real ham radio, isn't it?
Well, it's similar, I guess. We don't have guests pop in too often with streaming video. Most of the people who are there sign up, you know, to get an account on there and stream their webcam. But you don't have to have a camera to join us on there. You can just drop in any night on 3770 kilohertz. And if you're not a ham, but you'd still like to tune in and see what's going on, you can watch the video from camradiogroup.com. But you can listen to it using one of these web SDR receiver websites. You know, there's a number of receivers all over the world that are connected to the Internet that you can go on and tune in any frequency you want. And that's how I listen to it sometimes when it's real staticky at night, and I'd like to hear what the guys up in the Northeast are doing.
Yeah, that's really a cool deal. We'll have to talk about that sometime. Well, I appreciate you being on, and we'll see what happens next week. And as one of the chat room members said, yes, it is a cliffhanger here on Ham Nation. George has set us up for this. So see, I have to come back next week. Because, Gordo, what are we talking about next week as well as figuring out if George's radio works, his receiver? You got a real special program coming up next week, don't you?
We do. At the opposite end of the radio spectrum, we're going to go and do amateur television as well as working the satellites. and we're tuning in Mr. Satellite, Clint, and he's going to be beaming up a signal and receiving a signal off of Oscar satellites, telling us what it takes to easily work through the low Earth orbit satellites. And Clint's the man, so if you've ever been interested in working a satellite or talking to the International Space Station, which is on the air regularly, Clint is going to be there for us next week. All about satellites, and we'll put in a little bit about ATV through the Amateur Television Network as well.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, and I look forward to all of that, and then we'll find out if the receiver works. Well, Gordo, it's about time for you to teach us a couple of things. You want to crank up the old I don't think you have your hat on tonight, but that's okay. I want to crank up the old schoolroom here and see what we can learn from radio school. Go ahead and see what's happening.
All right, in our effort to go ahead and achieve the technician class license or an upgrade, Section 5 is all about electronic principles. Four questions on the upcoming tech test on Ohm's law and measuring current. Remember that we measure current with an ammeter in series. That's correct. An electronic switch, that would be a, you got it, transistor. All right, here we go. One of the few math questions on the technician class examination. How many amperes? If we have a 12-volt DC source and a 120-watt headlight in your vehicle, how many amps is that headlight going to draw if it's 120 watts running on 12 volts? Well, P over IE, P for power, 120, E for voltage, that is 12. 12 into 120, or another way of saying that is 120 divided by 12 comes out, that's right, 10 amps. And you know, on the technician class examination, most of the Ohm's law mathematical questions are taking the smaller number and dividing it into the larger number. So if you get a little mixed up on E over IR and P over IE, small number into the larger number and look for the correct answer, you'll usually get it right. But good practice, no Ohm's law. Next week, components with four more questions all about transistors and diodes. And you heard George talk about diodes. Which end of the diode is the cathode? We'll study that next week. Okay, Bob, back to you. School's out for tonight.
School is out. I wonder how many people passed. Well, you're going to find out when you go down and take your test. And, you know, even if we have had our license for some time, it's always nice to go in and make sure you're still on target. That's what I find. You never, ever stop learning. Isn't that right, Gordo? No matter what, huh?
That is absolutely correct. And you know who did pass was Leo Laporte. And we can't wait to hear Leo on the air with his new call sign shortly. In fact, for those of you on the internet, go ahead and load in right now, QRZ.com, and go to search for Leo Laporte. And you'll see his new call sign pop right up. But he's going to change it shortly for a vanity call. Leo, welcome to Ham Radio as a licensed ham radio operator.
One thing about Leo is his new call is KJ6QGP, and it's going to be changed. It'll be a lot easier. Well,
like
gosh,
that.
This
quite
has been so
great
much
person,
fun.
QGP.
Uh-oh. Yeah, do that again, huh? KJ6QGP. Boy. I have
yep,
a tough time
quite
remembering.
A good person.
Okay. He certainly is a good person to ham radio. He's a great person to the internet. He's just an all-around great person, and we're all honored and thrilled to have him giving us this hour that we can get together and chat in the chat room. You've been great tonight. I had a couple of guys say, what do you keep looking at, Heil? I keep looking at you guys because you're going nuts on the chat room tonight. It's going so fast, but it's okay. I save it all, and then I get to watch and look through it tomorrow, and I have a little more time. Yeah, you guys are wonderful, and don't ever feel that you can't contact us. You can. There's my email address. You can give us a buzz on the phone through our website. And Gordo, you you've got all of that up on yours, plus your radio school, right? Your, I think, let's put yours up. Make sure they have your email.
Right. It's my call sign, WB6NOA at ARRL.net. And we get a lot of information, especially for those teachers that are at high schools and junior high and private schools wanting to know more about Carol Perry's Radio Club of America program. Carol will be with us next week, along with Clint, to help explain the RCA program. And we're also getting an equal number of questions regarding how to get on to the haminstructor.com. And be able to get all of that great information for teaching a ham radio class at your local club.
That's really great. Really great. And for the guys that are just listening, my call, K9EID at ARRL.net. Or always go to QRZ.com. If you haven't done that, do it sometime. You can find a lot of different things about people, where they are and their coordinates. You can find out when they were licensed. There's all kinds of information, even their address if you want to mail them something. And the main thing is that we stay together and enjoy ham radio, because that's what Ham Nation's all about. And yes, we're going to have a lot of D-Star. We're going to have some CW. There's only just so many weeks in a month, and we've got it all planned. It just takes time to get through it all. So we haven't forgotten anyone. We're going to try to cover everything here in the ensuing months. But hats off to Alex, Chad, and John. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm going to take a couple more minutes to tell you that they have been spending, I'm not kidding you, 18 to 20 hours a day getting that new studio going. And so when we have a few difficulties, please be patient with all of them. It's going to be ironed out. I'm telling you, it will happen. We've got some genius guys and gals down there, and we appreciate all that they do, because they certainly aren't getting paid for the time they put in. Look at these guys. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, everybody. Best regards. 73. We'll see you on. I'm going to go see what's happening on 80. I do have to tell you that I just worked on 6 meters. I worked Ron WZ1V. He was up in Clinton, Connecticut on 6 meters, and it's open well from St. Louis area up to the East Coast, and who knows by now where it is. But I usually go see what's happening around 38, 48, 38, 50, 38, 75 is my home base if anything's happening. But that's where we'll be. Take care. Keep the cards and QSLs a-coming, and we'll see you here next week on Ham Nation when we're going to go talk to the satellite. So be prepared. Have fun. And most of all, think about what you're going to do to upgrade if you haven't done that yet. Bye-bye for now, everybody.
73 from Gordo in and Susie in 6 Golf Lima Foxtrot. Gordo, WB6NOA, along with Bob Heil. We're clear. Bop, bop.